Here's a question I've been pondering. In the vast expanse of time and space, what is the significance of our toilsome labor on this tiny planet in the cosmos? What does our work, whether it's paid or unpaid, whatever we do typically through Monday, from Monday through Friday, whether it's our studies, our job, our unnoticed care for family or friends, the way we serve at Church of the Cross, what does all this work we do day after day, week after week, mean? In the grand scheme of things, why does it matter? King David, he had a similar question in our psalm reading this morning in Psalm 8, when he asked, "O Lord, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have established, that is when I look at and consider the vast expanse of all that you have made in the cosmos, what are humans that you're mindful of them, mortals that you would care for them?" It's actually a question that's engraved in big stone letters on Emerson Hall at the top at Harvard, the home of the philosophy department. A question we're meant to think about. And a question that God answers in the remaining words of the psalm. A question and an answer that parallels what I've been asking and trying to answer. What is human work that it matters? In the grand scheme of things, what is the significance of our labors? We're beginning a new sermon series this morning, a 9 to 10 week sermon series on the theme of faith and work. And we're calling it Imaging Jesus in Every Endeavor. And we're going to come back to why we're calling it that. The first few sermons, we're going to look at this theme through the overarching story of Scripture and of our lives. Creation, the fall, redemption, new creation. And we're going to give each Sunday to one of these major themes of the overarching story of Scripture. Then after that, we're going to look at some more individual topics on the relation of faith and work. We're going to look at the significance of unpaid work. We're going to look at work as a vocation. We're going to consider the role, the important role of discernment in choosing our work and in trying to figure out how to image Jesus in our own particular work. I also want to mention the artwork that's going to be accompanying the series, and you're going to see in the bulletins or on the screen. This was made by Brittany Fan, who happens to be a friend of Megan. Hey, Daniel's here too. Daniel's been on tour with Owl City. He's actually playing tonight. I don't think this is probably sold out, but usually they lead together, but he's going to be away for a few weeks. For a good reason. But Brittany is a friend of Megan, and she's come up with all this artwork. And she's part of this group that gathers together artists and songwriters, pastors and professionals to create worship for workers. It's a really cool group. The new album from Porter's Gate, if you know it, Worship for Workers, is the direct result of this gathering. And so you may notice a number of these songs throughout the next few months from this album, ones like Establish the Work of Our Hands, which we've sung here a number of times, which I think we're going to be singing a bit later. And you may notice some more of these songs from this album that are wonderful songs that do this very thing. And so they've created this group has created this platform called Worship for Workers, after the name of the album, that's dedicated to bridge the gap between Sunday worship and our Monday work, where we spend the majority of our lives. creating and offering resources of prayers and blessings and liturgies to this end. Because they're aware of the disconnect many Christians feel between their worship of God and their daily work, where they spend the majority of their lives. They're trying to address that and offer these resources that foster authentic communication between God and worshipers about their work. And to do this in a way that equips them, in a way that renews their sense of mission and purpose in their daily endeavors and vocation. It's an awesome work. So they call it worship that gathers and scatters workers. It was really fun to find out that they have a connection with Made to Flourish, this group that we're actually forming a partnership with. One of the things Made to Flourish does is give grants to and offer great resources and help for churches to have what they call pastoral residencies based off of the teaching hospital model. But Made to Flourish also has a big focus on and helps churches and is going to be helping us even focus more on this integration of faith and work. So actually, Porter's Gate is going to be doing the music for one of their upcoming workshops. It's really cool to see. Tom Nelson, though, he's the president of Made to Flourish. He's written a number of books on this topic, and one of them is here, Work Matters, Connecting Sunday Worship to Monday Work, trying to address the gap there. And that brings us back to our original question. Why does our work matter? Why should we give it a lot of attention? Why should we create prayers and blessings and liturgies for this? Why should we devote 9 to 10 sermons on it? And I think we could give a lot of good reasons. For one, it helps us survive. It gives us a paycheck. It puts food on the table. It pays the bills. It hopefully offers a legitimate service to the world and to people. But let's go back to the scriptures and consider the biggest reason that work matters, human work. So let's go back to Psalm 8. And see, here's King David. He's lying under the vast night sky, and he's contemplating the smallness and significance of human beings. And he has this question that's driving his heart, that's at the heart, actually, of this psalm. And it's, what are humans that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? And his answer is basically a creative, expansive paraphrase of Genesis chapter 1. So you'll notice, like Genesis, he talks about humans ruling. And he mentions all the same animals, but he actually reverses the order of the animals. Basically, he's writing a poem about being made in God's image and likeness, but as a good poet, without ever using the word image or likeness. And then he adds something really beautiful. He says, "You have made them, that is humans, a little lower than the angels." Biologically, we might be a little more than monkeys, but what comes to purpose and value, we are a little lower than the angels, or a little less than God, as other translations translate it. So what did King David learn from Genesis chapter 1? He learned that the significance of Homo sapiens and the significance of what Homo sapiens do is tied up with, bound up with us being made in the image and likeness of our Creator. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 to look at this more closely and what this significance is. So when you go there, firstly, when we read Genesis chapter 1 and on into chapter 2 a little bit, consider all the words that describe what God is doing in these chapters. It says, God created. He said, and it was. He saw that it was good. He separated and divided. He made. He set. He blessed. He completed. He formed. He breathed into. He planted. What is God doing with all these actions? God is working. He's going to work. He's doing a lot of different kinds of work that these words describe. Throughout Scripture, we're to praise God over and over again for the works of his hands, which usually mean creation, but also mean his work of redemption in making things right and making a new creation. But what this implies is that our God is a God who works. Which is why we pray at times during the prayers of the people, oh God, we praise you as the God who works. And of course, who works all things together for good for those who love him. So that's the first thing to notice. The second thing to notice is that he's made us in his image. God said, let us make humans in our image according to our likeness. In the ancient Near East, gods had images of themselves, or people created images of the gods that represented the god, that represented their rule, their authority, their life, their presence. And the only people in the ancient Near East who were ever thought to be made in the image of a god was a king. No one else. But here, in the Jewish and Christian scriptures, in the Word of God, we're told every single human being is made in the image and likeness of God. That is radical in the history of the world. That is the source, actually, of human rights, if you look at where it comes from historically. We could also say it this way. Every person is an ambassador of God. We're delegated to go and represent him on the earth. You could be a bad ambassador, like an ambassador who neglects to serve the interests of their country, or who displays unprofessional, unethical behavior as they do that. Or you could be a good ambassador, and on the theme of human rights, like Andrew Young, who was the first African American to be an ambassador to the UN. And because of his background in the civil rights movement, he was able to promote human rights in US foreign policies. That wasn't there before. So we all have the same job, no matter who we are, whether we're a Christian or not. We're called, we're made to be ambassadors of God. We may not be doing that job as we're supposed to, but that's our job. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, the language there that describes Adam puts this in priestly terms. So the same language that Adam is called to when he's called to keep and guard and till the garden, it's the exact language that's used of priests and their work in the temple, implying that we are made to be priests, all of us. We're made to represent God to one another, and we're meant to represent ourselves, our people, the world, back to God. That's a huge part of what it means to be made in the image of God. The third thing to notice is one of the main ways we represent God on the earth is through our work. What we do. So notice what it says right after God says he makes humanity in his image and likeness. He says, let's do this. Let's make humans in our image according to our likeness. And what comes next? And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, all the creatures of God's earth. Not let them dominate, but let them have dominion. Let them rule. Let them steward and care for all of God's creation and all of God's creatures. And what is that if that's not work? A lot of work. In Genesis chapter 2, again, this is expanded to keeping and cultivating. It's what some have called the cultural mandate given to us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Our calling is to care for and cultivate creation, to work in such a way, to create human culture in such a way that reflects and represents God's beautiful, hospitable, life-giving way of doing things that we see especially in Genesis 1 and 2, but of course throughout Scripture and on into the new creation. So first thing, our God is a God who works. Second thing, he's made us in his image, which we again can do poorly or better at. Third thing, the main way we image him is through, or one of the main ways we image him is through our work, what we do with the majority of our time. So therefore, in the vast expanse of time and space, our labors do not stand as mere acts of mortals. Rather, they are echoes of something far greater. They recall, they depict the divine endeavors of Almighty God. Do you see your work in that way? When you see a child digging, building, sculpting in a sandbox, when you see an architect drawing plans, when you see a carpenter building the plans, when you see a daughter caring for her aging mother, if you squint just right, if you tilt your head just right, you're going to be able to see these as reflections, representations, representations of the divine endeavors of our God. Sometimes you got to squint a little harder than others to see this. But if you do, you can see everyone imaging God in every endeavor. In the different works, you can see this in all the different works represented in this. Actually, if you could bring that back up, whoever's on slides. There we go. In this art by Brittany. Brittany shared with Megan how this came about thinking, this work of art came from thinking how work looks differently for a variety of people. And that both inside and outside the church, there's certain kinds of work that can be overlooked, but that are crucial for the well-being of a body or for society. She said she was also working on this over this past year as she's been part of a church plant. And it's made her think, and it's really represented literally what she has seen be necessary for a community to start a church and to make a church happen, both within a Sunday morning, but also beyond. And I love how this is all gathered around a table, which certainly makes us think about and should the Lord's table, the communion table, the place where we gather up and offer up all that we do, all our work to the Lord in worship, of course, for a lot of it to be forgiven, but also for the Lord to establish the works of our hands. Back to the theme of this morning, people image God in every endeavor and in every collar of work, whether it's a blue collar or a white collar, the different meanings there. Did you know there's a lot of other collars of work? I found this out. There's gray collar work, which is a blend of blue and white collar work. There's pink collar work, that represents the service and care industries. There's green collar work, which represents both the military and those who care for the environment, strange enough, and renewable energy. There's gold collar work. There's red collar, new collar, and for the artists and free spirits among us, no collar. The point being, people are imaging God in every collar of work, paid or unpaid. And we need eyes to see that. That's what the scriptures give us if we're paying attention. Work is not just an act of survival, it's sacramental. As bearers of God's image, our labors, however humble or grand, mirror, represent the profound act of our Creator who shaped worlds out of the void. Every hand that tills the soil, that builds, that writes, is representing the divine hand of the one who formed us and all things. Do we see that? That gives the work we do, whatever it is, overwhelming significance. We, of course, always need to be careful about worshiping our work. But we do that by seeing the source of our work, the source of its significance, is not in us. It's in our God. It's in the fact that we are reflecting God in our work. And that should cause us to tremble a bit at the significance of it. It has done that to me this week as I consider my own work. And as I consider, how well am I doing that? How can I do that well? And that is something we're going to be focusing on throughout the series. How can we, of course, do this, especially and most of all, like Jesus did? How Jesus imaged God in every endeavor. So Jesus became, as he became one of us, he didn't do away with the image or the work, the human work that's implied in the image, tied up with it. No, like most things, he fulfills and restores it to its intended purpose. The scriptures tell us Jesus is both the divine Son of God and the human Son of Man. And in Colossians, he's called the image of God. He is the one who truly reflected and represented God on the earth like we were supposed to. As we heard from our gospel reading, for the majority of his life on earth, he did this as a carpenter. Is this not the carpenter? Can a blue-collar worker really be teaching us what to do? He went on to do this as a teacher, as a doctor of sorts, as an exorcist, as a priest, according to Hebrews, as a leader, the divine leader, and of course, as a savior, and as I like to think of it, as a rescue worker in that regard, being someone who's been a paramedic and a firefighter. Jesus imaged God in all of these endeavors and more. He modeled for us this. According to God's redemptive purpose, to, quote, clothe ourselves with the new self, the Jesus-like self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator, as Paul wrote about it in our Colossians reading. Everyone images God in every endeavor, but the call of the gospel is to do this with the new self, the Jesus-like self. Which means the call is to image Jesus now in every endeavor. That's the title of the series. Work. It's not just an act of survival. It's sacramental. Work matters because as bearers of God's image, our labors, however humble or grand, mirror, depict, represent the divine endeavors of the one without beginning or end, And that should cause us to tremble at the significance of every human endeavor. May it be so.